What you heard right there was the power of audio.
And audio is what we do at Odyssey. That true crime podcast you spent hours listening to,
we produce that.
That radio station where you discovered your favorite artists,
that's our station.
That weird playlist of bongo music,
we ain't judging. One of our curators made that.
Advertise with Odyssey. We can get your message in front of a broad or targeted audience. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're just talking about Laramie Tunsil, all the things going on with the Commanders, Dan Quinn later on. Joining us now is Benjamin Robinson, who's in Indianapolis, who runs Grinding the Mox on Substack. And I didn't know this, Ben. I apologize. I didn't do my research. I didn't realize you were a Silver Spring, Maryland native. How are you?
I've lived in D.C. now for the last 10 years, and I just moved to Silver Spring recently. But yeah, I've been in D.C. for about 10 plus years, originally from Cincinnati, but the DMV is home.
Okay, so not a native, but lived here for the last decade or so. You know, this city sometimes is rude to outsiders. They don't like us. You know, they don't like us if you don't kiss their ass and have burgundy and gold pom poms. First of all, thanks for doing this. So you're in Indianapolis right now, correct?
Yep, correct. Yeah. Yep.
So what would you say is the buzz? I mean, a lot of obviously player interviews going on. I know all the players are not there yet, but the teams are there and clearly holding press conferences. Would you say this is pretty uneventful so far, or what would be, I guess, your big picture early takeaway to some of the things being said and done?
It's definitely a calm before the storm sort of vibe right now. Yeah, a lot of talking. Some teams aren't even here, but for the teams that are here, they're doing their media responsibilities and getting prepared for the drills later this week, meeting with agents, vendors, things like that. So it's very much kind of business as usual.
Benjamin Robinson from Grinding the Mox, available on Substack. Make sure you subscribe and check out what he is working on. And that's what I wanted to ask you, because, I mean, obviously looking at some of your content and you know, it's a different way of using analytics and analysis, but how would you sell your content? How would you describe what you're trying to accomplish? Is it simply just kind of showing visuals to where guys are projected in mock drafts? Is that the general concept that you're trying to push forward?
Yeah, I'm trying to push forward a more informed conversation around the draft, mm-hmm. using data as a lens. I think it's the same type of conversation we have in politics around elections, but focused on something that I think is much more important, which is the NFL draft. And so the idea is that there's a collective intelligence out there.
I'm sorry.
And if we, I know, right? Yeah,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cackle. That made me laugh because a lot of people would agree with you, and then a lot of people would say you're nuts.
Hey, you know, when more people tune into the Super Bowl than the presidential debate, I'll just leave it at that. But either way, it's actually kind of a more complicated problem in a lot of ways. But we're bringing some of those same tools of, you know, trying to upweight voices that are more important. You know, there's a lot of voices who have a lot of sway who don't actually know what they're talking about. But if we kind of are able to find some of that signal in the noise, we can get a better sense of what's going on and just be more informed about the draft. But to me, it's also about telling stories. You know, those charts are there to talk about the journeys that these players have taken as prospects. I find it just really exciting. This time of year is when people are starting to learn more about these guys and their stories and what they bring to the table and what they could bring to their, you know, to their favorite team.
And one example that you kind of cite that I don't want to say came out of nowhere was Nick Amanawori of the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks, right? And his rise, if you will, last year, where he got on people's radar and jumped, and he certainly became a story, as you said, and a riser, and then it paid and came to fruition and winning a Super Bowl, and he was a big part of that.
Yeah, definitely. Last year post-combine, he was one of my, you know, top three biggest risers in my data. But one of the things that I think is like less surprising about that is coming into the combine, we knew that he was a super athlete. Mm-hmm. And so to me, one of the things that was really exciting was, you know, more people got to know who he is. But, you know, he ended up eventually falling. People kind of were like, well, he has this, you know, great athleticism. And I think they kind of undervalued a lot of his traits. Now I think the league is more appropriately valuing some of those traits that he has around the athleticism, the ability to cover in the run and be, you know, really, really not a liability in coverage and really be kind of one of the backbone pieces of that championship defense. You know, the player that I think more of who was emblematic of that was last year was Armand Membu, the offensive tackle from Missouri, who was coming into the conscious. And then, you know, he had that kind of primal yell when he was doing his 40, and you just kind of knew this guy was different. And he ended up being, you know, one of the bigger risers, you know, across the entire season. And, you know, probably could have been in conversation for being rookie of the year if he played a sexier position.
Well, or if he didn't play with such a horse crap franchise in the New York Jets, that also.
No comment.
one of the big risers, if you will, and it's not like per se in the last couple of months, like a big rise, because everybody knows of David Bailey, the edge from Texas Tech, but certainly for our audience here, you know the Commanders need lots of help at that. You have him sixth post declaration deadline, fourth pre-combine here, but I was looking at some of the data and the chart that you had, and am I interpreting this right with the visuals that you have, again, on Grinding the Mocks, available on Substack for subscription and for, you know, for people to get, you know, via email and subscription. Am I reading this right that basically in June of 2025, meaning last summer, he was mostly thought of as a, what, mid-second roundish pick, and now he's going definitely in the top 10, and he could go in the top 5.
Yeah, that's correct. It's very rare for these days for some people to come completely out of nowhere, like pretty rare. So I think less rare than it was due to the impact of the transfer portal. But David Bailey was a known entity when he was at Stanford. Mm-hmm. And then he took the big bag at Texas Tech, him and then also his colleague Lee Hunter, the defensive tackle, who's another really interesting prospect. But, you know, he had a really impressive season, and so people knew about him coming into the season. He was definitely, you know, probably would have been in my top 50 preseason prospects. But to go from there and then to solidifying himself as potentially the first edge in the draft is, you know, a huge achievement. So he just put a really great season on tape, and Texas Tech had a great season on top of that as well. So, but yeah, I expect him to be in the conversation for, you know, potentially a top 5 pick now.
Now, if you had to choose between, I mean, and we're just talking about edge guys, him and Reuben Bain, would you say Bailey clearly because he's the best pure pass rusher, but Bain, obviously, I know there's concerns about the shorter arms, but he's also, I mean, at least from everything that I've seen, a hell of an edge setter and a pretty darn good, fierce run stopper with his hands and being able to get off of blocks and shed blocks and hold up at the point of attack. How would you evaluate those two head-to-head entering the combine? You know,
so I think, you know, Bain has that more of that kind of power to him that I think really a lot of effective edges can. And so the question is, you know, do you think that Bailey can develop into that? Because Bailey has more of the like speed, pure, can get around. You know, he moves like a basketball player at times. You know, yeah, really good prospect. But yeah, at the end of the day, I think, you know, I probably would prefer Bain myself, but I think Bailey's probably going to go higher.
What about the short arms deal? Because to me, it didn't look like it affected him in college, but we all know, even though some offensive tackles in college, like the ones that he would go against in practice, are 6'5", 6'6", 330, not every offensive tackle is a behemoth and going to have the gazelle-like athleticism that he's probably going to deal with a bunch of left tackles in the NFL. Is the arm thing going to be a major problem in your eyes? Is he going to be a situation where they got to kick him inside in sort of a NASCAR-ish package and kick him down into like maybe a three technique spot? How do you kind of see that moving forward?
Yeah, I think that's a good conversation. Yeah, I think that's why some people have like very different opinions about Bain, where if you view him as more of like a guy who goes outside and then also goes inside, mm-hmm. does that minimize his value? I don't think so. You know, some of the most effective pressure you can get in the NFL is from interior. So to me, I don't think it impacts his value at all. You know, he had no problem facing any of the kind of pro prospect tackles that he faced in college football. In the ACC, maybe not as much, but, you know, if you look at his playoff run, really great against A&M, you know, really, really good against Ohio State. So, yeah, no, him and Akeem Mezidor both had excellent seasons. And, Bain is on the younger side, and so you can kind of also project that he'll continue to grow and grow in his talents.
Yeah, because
he's been so good even with some of those quote-unquote deficiencies.
Right. No, I didn't mean to jump in on you, but Mesidor, who you mentioned there, what is he? He's almost 25, right? Or is he 25 already? Or something like that, right? Which is going to be somewhat problematic for his stock. Before we get into a couple of the other Senior Bowl risers and guys that you highlighted, again, Grinding the Mocks Substack available. Benjamin Robinson is our guest live from Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine right here on the Team 980. He lives in Silver Spring, so he's around the area. The Commanders have also been connected with, again, different people, different things, of course, Caleb Downs, Sonny Styles, Arvell Reese. I mean, anybody that moves and has a pulse on defense. If it's not a pure edge rusher, say, again, the two guys that we were talking about, Bailey or Bain, right? If it's not one of those two guys, and who knows who's going to be available and when, which of those guys the other guys that I mentioned would you think would fit in what they're now trying to do here in Washington with Durante Jones, presumably Brian Flores-esque type defensive scheme?
Yeah. So I think Caleb Downs will be in the conversation. He's definitely in one of my top ranked, in terms of pairings between teams and prospects coming into this draft. I think he's somebody that they'll give a lot of consideration to. I personally think that the edge rushers are better prospects for what they're needing right now. I don't think they're a safety away from being a much better defense. If I had to pick another edge rusher, I would definitely focus on Auburn's Kendrick Faulk. And so he's somebody that I think that they might want to look into. He's kind of definitely on the younger side, had a much better sophomore season than he did a junior season, but a heck of a prospect in his own right. Last year, Adam Peters was very secretive. Last year, about 40% of the mock drafts were saying edge, and offensive tackle wasn't even listed in the top five of the most mock positions in my database.
Yep.
And so coming into the season, if I had to think of, of a position that's not being talked about a lot that could come into play for them, it's wide receiver. Being where they are in that part in the draft could give them access to some of the best prospects at wide receiver in this draft, like a Carnell Tate from Ohio State, if he falls a little bit, if the medicals are good on Jordan Tyson. Like last year, they were being connected a little bit with Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State, who ended up going a lot earlier than people thought to Tampa Bay, had a really awesome rookie season. So to me, a wide receiver could be a position that is a little bit of a dark horse if I had to think of something beyond the kind of Downs best player available or defensive lineman. And I really do hope they stay away from Jeremiah Love. I think they have a backfield that can do what they need, especially with what Jaden brings in the run game.
All right, so here's what's interesting. I mean, who doesn't love Jeremiah Love, right? And you just mentioned him. I think you could use that, in lieu of the Oregon quarterback Dante Moore not coming out, lieu of, not having top-shelf quarterbacks to get teams to trade up, I think you might be able to use Jeremiah Love as not a quarterback, but as a quasi, chip piece to move back potentially to either, I don't know, 8 with New Orleans, who might be cutting Kamara, to 9 with Kansas City, who might be looking to get a little fresh look on their offense with Eric Bieniemy back, a running backs coach. Something like that. Do you see that as a more realistic scenario, say, for the Commanders than them actually taking him? Because it sounds like you're not a big fan of them taking him in the 7th spot.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I'm not. I think if they could get someone to trade up with them to take Jeremiah Love, that'd be definitely a huge coup given the positional value around running back. I just think that in the context of where they are in their team build, a running back is not going to make as big of a difference as a wide receiver or an edge rusher. And so to me, I was saying edge rusher last year, offensive tackle, I think Connor Lee, is still growing into, as a pro. So I think that's still, jury is out. I think he could still get better. It's good to have tackle depth, especially with who they were trying out at tackle, last year in the playoffs and getting exposed at times. But to me, wide receiver could be kind of a dark horse position where I think it really does help raise the floor of the team to have somebody beyond Terry McLaurin, who can make big plays. And so to me, like, if Carnell Tate is available and I'm looking at Carnell Tate or Jordan Love, it'd be Carnell Tate, you know, all day, every day.
Well, you mean Jordan Tyson.
Comparing, yeah,
right. Yeah. And the reason why you're anti-Tyson, and I think you're absolutely correct, is not on the field enough. I mean, they, like, here's the thing. We saw it hurt them literally, figuratively, in every way when they lost Terry McLaurin. But you combine Terry McLaurin with Debo getting banged up week five, week six, with Noah Brown constantly injured, and they didn't have anybody that could move and run routes and catch the ball for Jaden. And Jaden wasn't his best either, I'll admit that. But to me, it would seem really odd if you spent, say, the 7 overall pick on a guy like Jordan Tyson, or even if you traded back a little bit and spent, I don't know, a top 12 pick on Jordan Tyson, a guy who's already got big-time injury concerns, as you note, again, on Grinding the Mocks.
Yeah, he's been a faller. You know, I think, you know, he was definitely one of the top receiver prospects coming into the season. And I think the hope was that he would build on top of a really impressive campaign. But, you know, I think this week the teams are going to get a chance to look at, you know, his medicals. And I think that will speak. There'll be a lot that to make of that. I think it's really unfortunate because I think he's extremely talented. I think without the medical issue, he's definitely in, you know, along with Tate, competing to be the first wide receiver taken. If I had to stack them right now, you know, to me, Carnell Tate's up there, but Mekhi Lemon is kind of on his heels. And so that'd be another player that could be of interest. But I think that he's more like in the outside the top 10 than Tate, who's more inside the top 10 right now.
One other wide receiver, and then I'll let you go after this. I appreciate your time. Brennan Thompson, who you like out of Mississippi State. Tell me why and how do you see him fitting in? I know you like him kind of like in the mid to later rounds, and that's probably where he should go. Is he a pure slot guy? Is he an outside guy?
Yeah, so, you know, Brennan Thompson, wide receiver from Mississippi State. You know, I wrote about him in that piece talking about, you know, players who might rise after the combine a little bit. Just to do a little preview, just so people see what we see before the combine. It kind of goes back to what I was talking about. You know, if we know a player is fast, like Nick Amonwori, we know he's athletic. When he tests athletic, we shouldn't double count that. And so that's why I wanted to talk about Thompson. We already know Thompson's fast. That's his calling card. He's definitely a smaller guy. You know, I think he could be add some value as a special teams player, but that's not a player that you should be drafting until day 3 of the draft at the earliest. And so that's why I wanted to highlight that. He's definitely a fun player. You know, everyone loves guys who can, you know, get the ball and move after the catch, but yeah, he's kind of small. And so to me, he's definitely rising. I think people are expecting and looking at him more now because they know about this like big athleticism that he has and his speed. And so I expect him to, you know, potentially run in the 4.2s, but you still have to be a football player. And I think I take some of the pre-combine data that I have on him, and I use that as a kind of prior to think about, you know, did we know that he was that athletic beforehand? If the answer is yes, like I said, don't double count that. Don't give him more credit than he deserves for something that he brings to the table. It's more about players who you don't know that they have that quality, and then you find something new that you might want to reinvestigate and actually potentially reassess your eval with that type of new lens on. Yeah.
You can follow more from Ben on Twitter, X, at BenJ_Robinson, and at Grinding Mocks, as well the Substack and everything in between, all the socials. Great to have you. Appreciate you making some time for us. Enjoy Indianapolis. Hope you're going to get a chance to get a little St. Elmo's. I mean, I hear the shrimp cocktail.
I did last night.
Oh, did you? Did the shrimp? Did you get the shrimp cocktail?
I did not get the shrimp cocktail because I'm Jewish. I don't eat shrimp, but I did get the I did get the horseradish sauce with some crackers.
Okay,
and it blew my mind. But what blew my mind more was the service. The service there is excellent. Some of the best service I've ever had. Wow, amazing place.
So you had the hot horseradish shrimp cocktail sauce on crackers.
Oh yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, they said, I was like, yeah, I don't eat shrimp, and they accommodated. Like I said, you know, great service. I had an excellent server. They have people who've been, you know, servers there for 40 years or 20 plus years. It's amazing.
That's great. That's great. Well, I'm glad at least you were able to kind of be flexible, right? We need more flexible people in society. Certainly the Commanders need more flexible players, period. Appreciate you. Let's do this again when you get back, okay?
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great one.
That's Ben Robinson with us, Grinding the Mocks, Silver Spring area resident, and looking at the NFL draft from the combine in Indianapolis. We'll have a couple of our friends from Sumer Sports on over the next couple of days, and we will talk draft with you and free agency with you and contracts with you on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of The Preamble. Listen, I know you're dealing with a lot, and it's even harder to do it when the world around you feels chaotic. But I'm here to help. Each week, my expert guests and I slow things down to talk about the stories shaping our world, what's really happening behind the headlines, why it matters, how it all connects. And if you're ready for real understanding and maybe even a little bit of hope, follow and listen to The Preamble wherever you get your podcasts.